Alrighty, it being 4:30, the Board of Public Works meeting is now called to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Aaron Williams,
Present.
Harold Cleams,
Present.
Alder Uecker,
Present.
Alder Lincola,
Here.
Tim, how do you say your last name? Tim Meisen.
Meisenheimer.
Okay, Tim Meisenheimer, thank you.
Present.
And Michael Cullen.
I am here.
And Alder, or Alder, wow. We do have excuse tonight also for
Say
Joe
again.
Clausius. Joe
Oh, Joe
Clausius,
Clausius.
yeah.
Okay. All righty. We've got one public hearing this evening, which is item number 5, scheduled for 5:30. Do any board members wish to make any disclosures or recusals regarding items on the agenda?
I will recuse myself from item 5. I am on the same board as one of as the applicant for a nonprofit.
Gotcha. Okay. Does that that doesn't affect our quorum at all, does it, Heidi? For that
No,
item?
we're still good.
Alrighty. Alrighty, let's see. We've received a public comment for items not on the agenda. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Which was from Linda Lennertz regarding the Capital City Trail box culvert replacement. Specifically, she had some an issue with she stated that the board had inquired about putting the sewer below the bike path, and she said that the board was told that they couldn't do that because they didn't want to shut the bike path down. But it's my recollection that there was another outstanding reason for that. Is that correct? Is anybody here tonight, Jim, that can speak to that, or?
Greg's here, but I've also been checking in with Daniel Oliveres, who's our project manager for this too. There is a MMSD sewer line that runs under the bike path as well. So the primary
Right.
reason was an underground utility conflict, not necessarily keeping the path open.
Okay. Right. That's was my understanding that there was another issue there. So, and then I think she had a concern that the prairie was being replaced, but I think we stipulated that every precaution should be taken to try to maintain the prairie or at least replace in good kind. Is that how you
Yes, so
understand it?
the spec, Linda did quote our spec in here about restoration of the prairie, and it is probably going to be more of a full replacement.
Okay.
And that was done in coordination with the prairie group. John Coleman is their leader, and we've been meeting with them
Oh,
as
okay.
we kind of developed how we're going to handle this and manage the restoration.
Right. Do any board members have any questions regarding that issue at all? Aaron.
Maybe not that issue, but do we as the board actually superintend all public works? That was like the last paragraph statement in there. I don't know what
Oh.
that means, but it says, as the board's duty, we superintend all public works. Is that true?
Well, I think if we make recommendations and they're passed by the council, we probably want to make sure that the recommendations were taken and acted upon. But we certainly don't supervise construction if that's what the
Yeah, I don't know. It's in quotes, so I don't know what the intent where it was pulled from, but
Right.
okay. Yeah, no, it's unfortunate that we can't save some of the prairie, but it sounds like city's working with them and there's a means to an end, so that's
Right.
good. I mean, a 1 year prairie is not a 10 year prairie, so.
Sounds good. All right, the other issue that maybe is appropriate to bring up here, we've got a new board member, which is Tim Meisenheimer. Good Irish name. Welcome, Tim. I don't know what your experience is, or if you have anything you want to let us know at this time, or.
So I've been a certified arborist going on 20 years. My background is mostly in utility forestry. I was the forester for Madison Gas and Electric for quite a few years. Now I'm the manager of electric construction operations there. With my background is trees and construction.
That sounds great. That'll be a welcome addition to the board.
All right, that's probably recorded.
It is definitely being recorded. Okay, do we have anybody registered to make other comments, items not on the agenda, Heidi? I think
We
there was a.
didn't, yeah, we don't have anyone registered for items not on the agenda.
All righty. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes of the meeting from May the 7th?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. There are no items on the agenda this evening that will require permits for potential water resources impacts. The consent agenda this evening includes items 8 through 13 and 16 through 19. Do any board members wish to break any of those items out for further discussion?
I'll just take number 12 for
Okay.
just a quick question.
Okay, that sounds good. Note that down here. Alrighty, so the consent agenda now includes items 8 through 11, 13, and 16 through 19. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Alrighty, item number 6. We've got Maria Delestre to talk about change order number 20 to the State Street Garage.
Good evening.
Hello, Maria.
Hi there.
Welcome.
I just thank you. I just sent in a request to share my screen.
Yep,
No, I'm good.
you.
Okay. Thank you. All right, can everyone see my screen?
I think so.
Thank you. My name is Maria for our new board member. I'll be presenting on change number 20 for the State Street Campus Garage Project. As a quick update on the project, the garage is about 90% complete, and the phase one public works contractor is planning to demobilize from site in the next month. There are several intentionally delayed scope items that will be completed over the next 9-ish months, and then the contractor will be back on site to gain a building occupancy with the housing portion in summer of 2026. The photo I have here on the screen is a photo taken from day today, just if you haven't been downtown recently to see the great progress that phase two has made. As another reminder, I presented change order 19 to the board on April 16th, which included two change order requests. One change order request was approved and the other deferred to a future meeting. The change order request that was approved included 2 months' elevator storage costs from December of 2024 to February of 2025. The storage cost was related to the city engineering's recommendation to delay the elevator installation that the contractor had planned to do in the spring of this year to the spring of next year. The delay recommendation was based on concerns about it being on site, uninstalled, or installed for a significant amount of time while not under regular operation. The board had asked that City Engineering re-review the elevator installation options that would minimize the cost impact to the city. As a reminder, the original storage cost and labor increase that was presented to the board was $108,000. The revised proposal I'm presenting tonight is for $57,019.10. This is a $51,400 reduction, about 50%.
Hey, Marie, could we just pause there just 1 second? That 108,000 figure, did that include the 2 months that we already approved?
It didn't.
Okay, thank you.
So the revised change order that I am presenting tonight includes storage costs from February of this year to August of 2025 this year. Based on the recommendation of this board, the city and the public works contractor went back to the elevator contractor and asked to move the install back to the earliest date possible. A ship date of August 15th of this year is the earliest available based on the labor availability to do the install. The only cost included in this change order I'm presenting tonight is the storage cost and the contractor's required overhead and profit and bond percentage. The public works contractor, will be covering the remaining cost related to labor increases, general condition, and maintenance and protection of the elevator to ensure it is ready to be inspected and turned over in summer of 2026. It's the city engineering stance that this shared cost approach is fair for two reasons. The first reason is this project, as you guys know, has a unique schedule due to its partnership with the housing developer. Engineering staff did our best to convey the schedule requirements in the contract documents, but unfortunately, the schedule requirements related to the elevator are a bit of a gray area. Direction to install in 2026 versus 2025 was not made clear. The other reason we think that a shared cost approach is fair is based on pre-construction meetings with the city's elevator consultant and the elevator manufacturer. Engineering staff believed at the time the best option was to delay the elevator install. And working in good faith, the city did direct the contractor to store the elevator. The city has some responsibility related to providing the direction and the fact it created a series of costs that the contractor may have been different than the contractor assumed. I wanted to note that I appreciate the discussion we had back in April because it gave our staff and myself the leverage to find this lower cost option. To put the cost in perspective, this change order increased the usage of our total 8% contingency only by 0.16%. While not a $0 proposal, this approach delays the install by 6 months and provides the city with a lower risk of damage to the elevator, which in turn lowers our risk of impacting the overall joint venture turnover date, which, as you guys know, has significant liquidated damages, and also lowers our risk of impacting the city's ability to provide housing and parking as early as possible. So, thank you for your time, and please let me know the questions you have.
All righty. Well, thank you, Maria. Certainly going in the seems like it's heading in the right direction here. Alder Uguer, do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, and that is, when I move that we refer it to a future meeting, this is precisely what I hoped would happen, that you would have the extra leverage to get this to a more reasonable point. And we have done that. As I recall, you also wanted to do a little more research on the warranty and just what kind of risks may attend to the period of time in which it might not be, the elevators might not be in regular use. Have you been able to obtain any more information on that? Does it affected our potential risks?
Yes, thank you for the question. So, based on our public works contract, The warranty does not start until substantial completion of the project, and substantial completion is expected to be in summer of 2026. So the earlier install date, all of the risk if there were damages while the elevator is on site, would be the contractor's risk.
Okay. And all the parties understand that, and this compromise reflects everybody's shared risk. If I got that,
Correct.
thank you very much, Maria. Good job.
Any other questions, comments? Yeah, I think this is just to kind of follow up with Alder Uguera said. I think it's a good example of what we should be doing here as a board is taking a look at some of these issues, whether it be a change order or something else. And if things looked a little bit out of whack or a little strange, that we should ask questions and try to save money at the same time if we possibly can. So I think it's I appreciate what you have done, Maria, and also others working with this project. And I think it's probably a fair and good outcome for what the issue was. So.
Chair, I'm prepared to move approval.
Oh, great. Okay. We got a motion.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Here you're seeing none. Motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you again, Maria. Appreciate it. Have a good evening.
Same to you.
All righty. Item number 7. We've got John Evans to talk about change order number 31 to the Metro Transit facility.
Yes. Good evening, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Also, welcome to the new alders that are part of the board. Nice talking to you tonight. I will share my screen. Hold on a second. Zoom changed it around a little bit. Look at that. Are you able to see my screen?
We've got the agenda.
Right.
Yep.
Let me see if I can.
Yep, we got the change order there.
Super. Yeah, here's the change order summary. So this is just to give you an overview of the project we're discussing. This is the Metro Transit Hanson Road BRT facility. Been here a few other times over the last year, year and a half with some change orders. This is one that actually came up really late in the project, actually after we had sort of moved in and we were starting to occupy the building. Late winter, early spring, some existing pavement on the site started to fail. Just it's probably pavement that's original to the building when it was a FedEx facility, roughly 15 plus years old. Just with the heavy bus traffic that we were coming in and out of the facility and some turning movements in and out of the building, a couple locations started to fail. We thought it was appropriate to utilize the contractor we already had on site. We had an open public works contract with some remaining contingency to utilize for this repair. It's a roughly $52,000 change order for this concrete repair. Taking us just under our 8% contingency to 7.7%. And I do have a small diagram here. Can hopefully blow it up for you guys to kind of show you what we're talking about. So this is just the overall site plan, East-West Hanson Road that kind of goes between UW Hospital up there and the airport. There's kind of two large facilities on the site. These kind of brownish red boxes are the facilities. The bus traffic generally enters the site at this number one location, and then circulates through the site, in the building here where my cursor is, and then out of the building here. And these blue boxes that I'm showing are the locations of failed pavement. We ran this by our street section engineers that deal with obviously deal with pavement a lot more than than we do, and they thought this was an appropriate price for the amount of pavement. It's roughly $10 a square foot, including the excavation to kind of get rid of the failed pavement and compaction and tie in to the pavement and the new concrete. So that's generally what we're talking about here on this change order. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to talk to you about it.
All righty, any questions or comments for John? Hey John, what was there originally?
Those locations, oh, you mean in terms of the type of pavement?
Yeah.
It was asphalt. I know number one was asphalt. There was number two was concrete. There was kind of it's you can't see it on this diagram, but there were the loading docks here originally, and there was kind of a section of concrete where it transitioned to asphalt. It transitioned somewhere, kind of somewhere here. I don't remember exactly, but it's tying into concrete here, and then these kind of gridded black and white kind of areas is new concrete that we put in. So this section that failed here was asphalt, but we're gonna tie it into the new concrete that we poured already. It should hold up a little better to the weight and the turning movements of these buses.
Right. So that box number one is asphalt. It was asphalt. And are you replacing it with asphalt?
No, with this is three locations are all concrete. Yes.
All concrete.
Yeah.
And that box number two, that was asphalt?
I believe it was asphalt, but it'll be touching. So
Concrete.
on at least two sides, it'll be touching new or touching concrete, if
So
that
you
makes
can
sense.
tie into the existing. All
Yeah,
right.
it won't be a kind of an island of concrete within asphalt, which
Right.
is
Okay.
not good for movement, right?
Right. And I assume that new concrete is like, what is it, like a 6 inch?
Yes, it's there's the existing kind of backfill under the concrete, and then it'll be like, yeah, roughly 6 inches of concrete, correct?
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. Aaron, you've got a question or comment?
Yeah, just when you're talking with your engineering folks, and maybe Jim knows, but any consideration to put GeoGrid under one, just because of the, I would imagine it's a pretty intensive loading, or consistent daily loading heavy things.
It definitely is. They're in and out all day pretty consistently there. Yep.
Because I mean, this is low by the airport, right? This is a low area anyways. Maybe it's not, maybe not, I don't know.
I know. I mean, you can see the grade falls off at the edges of the site.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Okay.
built up. But yeah, it was definitely at some point back in the day, it was definitely marshy lower land, right? You can tell from the surrounding.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, GeoGrid works in these situations, but I don't leave it to your engineering folks.
We could run that by are the engineers, and I think it'd be pretty easy to add some GeoGrid in there if need be.
If it makes sense. Thanks.
Right.
Yeah, we can
Yeah.
maybe
Thanks,
take a
Aaron.
look at the soil borings.
Do you think you have a boring in that location over there?
Oh, I'm trying to think where we did some borings by this kind of it's bubbled for no reason for tonight, but this is the new the overhead charger that the bus pulls under to charge. They have
Right.
one of those there, and we did a couple borings right here, so it might be close enough to draw some conclusions.
Probably not.
It's pretty far. It's probably 300 feet away, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's not going to do anything for you.
We may
Yeah.
also have some from when we did a resurfacing project on Hanson Road. That
Oh
might be
yeah, that'd be
close enough.
closer. Yeah.
But yeah, following up on Aaron's comment, that would be appropriate if you even suspect there could be some soft soils under there. All righty. If there's no further questions or comments, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. We have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, John. Have a nice evening.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Board.
All righty. That brings us to item number 12 regarding police powers establishing West Dayton Street Sanitary Placement Assessment District. Do we have anybody on board to talk about that, Jim, or?
We do have Eric, but this is Eric's first ever assessment district. So
Okay.
I may quick run lead on it. And
Okay.
depending upon the questions, Eric can help answer some of the details. So this is an item to establish an assessment district. The board sees quite a few of these throughout the year. And it's kind of part of the special assessment process that the city has, that we first have to establish the assessment district that goes through board and common council to kind of create a general area for where we can enact our special assessment policies as part of a project. And then following that, we had come back to the board with another item to approve the plans and specifications and special assessments through a public hearing at Board of Public Works and Common Council to actually enact those special assessments, at least the initial estimated ones. And so for this particular project, we have some sanitary sewer main work that we need to do on West Dayton Street, which was initially primarily driven by a need to increase capacity tied back to some of the development in the area, especially above the Lake Street Garage. Ultimately, drains down Lake Street to our sewer main on Dayton. However, the existing sewer main on Dayton was approaching 100 years and 100 years old. And so this was going to come up as a condition replacement in the near future, regardless of this capacity increase. So we thought it was appropriate in this instance to move forward with our standard sewer lateral assessment policy. And I believe Whitty Hall on UW campus has a lateral that ties into this main that was recently replaced and is in PVC. So all we would ultimately plan to do as part of this project that would be accessible is a lateral reconnection into the new main once it gets replaced. So this resolution, not actually approving those plans and specs yet, but it's just establishing that assessment district as part of the special assessment procedures that the city has to run.
All righty, any questions, comments for Jim on this item?
Well, thank you very much for giving that background, Jim. Really appreciate that. And yeah, this is my first one too to look at that and trying to understand when it says police power. So it's like,
Oh,
what?
yes.
Yeah, why is that required there? Is that is not a voluntary can is the residents are not voluntarily participating, or what is the history when you said police power there? So I just
So
that
that's,
word made me concerned.
yep, nope, that is understandable. It is kind of odd language. So in the state statute, it generally gives municipalities the ability to create whatever special assessment policies we feel are reasonable. As part of that state statute, it does reference that that is utilizing the city's police powers to generally enact legislation for the benefit of the public in the city of Madison. And so that's become part of our standard language for the establishment of the assessment district to kind of connect it to the language in the state statute that generally just gives the authority to the city to do this. And while it is special assessments are not voluntary, they are also not done without the opportunity for residents to provide comment to both the board and the common council. We have meetings with residents prior to as well. So that's kind of why the language is in there. Hopefully that helps answer that question.
So when it said that two things occurred, is there a timeline for those two? I didn't see any timelines that powers that, or when is that getting done, or is that.
So that'd be a question for Eric on what his schedule is. There's no required timeline, but we can probably give you a general sense of when the board may be actually seeing the plans and specs.
Yeah, so the public hearing for plans and specs on this project, we are slated to do that here in a couple weeks. I think it's at maybe the, there might be a board meeting on the 18th of June, I think is what I was originally thinking to bring the public hearing for plans and specs to that meeting. And as Jim mentioned, the only assessment we are thinking on this project is just the one reconnect for the Witte dorm, and we just want to be consistent with the policy across the city. So construction slated for next year, kind of in conjunction with the Hawthorne Court project that's adjacent to the Lake Street Garage project, though.
Yep, thank you.
Aaron, you've got a question, comment.
Yeah, this is just probably a dumb question. How is this different than just when we do regular construction on a street and assess every neighbor? Like, why does it have to be a special assessment?
Oh, all assessments are special assessments that we do with public works
Oh, they
projects.
are? Oh, all right.
Yes.
Well, perfect. There we go. Yeah, easy question. All right. Thanks.
Hey, Jim, did you say that we had to upsize the sewer on Dayton Street?
Correct.
We had to replace the sewer because it's 100 years old. But if there wasn't a development, would we have to upsize it?
No.
So is it, why isn't that development assess the upsize charge?
So within our assessment policy, we have kind of a cutoff between what we call a local sewer main and what we call a regional sewer main. And the cutoff is anything 15 inches and below is considered a local sewer main. And Eric, what size is this sewer main going to be?
It is currently an 18, and we're going to turn it to a 24.
So, yeah, so it's above that threshold into what we determine as a regional main. And then we don't put that cost on an individual developer because it's serving so many other properties.
Right. Although you could argue that those other properties have already paid for that 18-inch.
Some maybe did to get it to an 18 inch, but there's, at one point in time, it was maybe an 8 inch, and a developer paid to upsize it to an 18 inch that several developers have come in and utilized that other excess capacity up
I'm just
until
trying
this
to
point.
save, trying to
Yeah.
look at ways to save the city money here. So.
Yeah. And part of that too, we are utilizing some TIF funding as part of this too, that is connected to a project in a TIF district. So there is a little bit of kind of funding related back to the increased property tax revenues that the city will eventually see.
All righty. Thank you. Any other questions, comments for Eric or Jim? If not, do we have a motion to
Yep,
approve?
motion to approve.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Borden. Thank you, Jim.
All righty. Uh-oh. I lost my rest I lost the rest of the agenda. What 16 through 19. What do we got next year, Heidi?
14.
14.
And it'll
14.
actually be Laura who is presenting for Amy.
Oh, okay.
That is me. I'm going to try to share. And let's see here. Can you see a floor plan? Am I
Yes.
sharing? Okay. All right. Good evening, board. My name is Laura Amundson. I'm with Facilities Management. And
And
this afternoon,
then
we're
we have
seeking
this.
a pre-approval for plans and specs to advertise for bids for the engineering services building locker room remodel. And the engineering services building is located at 1600 Emil Street on the south side of Madison off of Fish Hatchery Road. Remodeling of the existing locker rooms area and the current training room will create a large gender-neutral locker room space with individual gender-neutral restrooms, changing and shower rooms, and will meet the intent of APM 252, inclusive workspace, transgender, gender nonconforming, and non-binary employees. The existing locker room facilities consist of one men's locker room and one women's locker room. Then they were renovated into this current configuration in 2006. The lockers and changing areas were combined with restroom, bathing, and changing room facilities. The men's room has 65 half-height hot lockers, two water closets, two urinals, two lavatories, and two showers. The women's restroom have 17 half-height lockers, two water closets, two lavatories, and two showers. The current configuration does not provide any private, single-use, gender-neutral restroom or shower areas. The adjoining training room that we used to have meetings at was recently fit during the pandemic with 48 full-size lockers and changing space to serve as an extension of the men's locker room and to address the need for more lockers for male employees. The remodel will create one large locker room space using that area of 2,800 square feet and will give us 141 lockers surrounding 12 restrooms and shower areas, of which four of them would be shower rooms. During construction, we'd have a temporary locker room set up with restroom facilities in the adjacent garage just outside in this area that we don't have shown. I think that pretty much sums it up. If you have any questions, I guess that would be no. So.
Did you have a time frame on this, Laura? And do you have an estimated cost at all, or?
So we do have a time frame. We're looking to go out for bid at the end of June and start the project on November, the first week of November, November 3rd, with completion probably early to mid-summer of 2026. And price, we're estimating $1,008,500. And that includes the 8% in contingency, in-house staff design time, and we have a small contract with IMEG for some structural design as well, and that's included in that.
All right. Alder Ugar, you've got a question or comment?
Yes, just a question. This is in the same space, right? So there's, I presume, some sort of phase construction so that the current users have and staff have a way to use something in the during the construction period.
The plan is to have temporary facilities set up in the garage, and there's also a break room down in this corner, cut off from the plan, but we're going to utilize the break room and also set up the temporary, some more temporary facilities out here in the garage that'll include some additional restrooms temporarily.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And is that part of the contract, Laura?
Yeah, that will be, well, it's a good question. It will not be part, that setup will not be part of the public works contract. I think we're going to do that on our own pre-set up before the meeting, before construction starts.
As far as rental of facilities, that sort of thing?
I believe so. That is not going to be part of the general contractor's responsibilities, no.
And all that cost would not be included in that estimated cost you gave us?
Not in... I do not believe that's included in this, well, in the 1 million.
I think typically we would try to include that cost in the 1 million.
I'm reading
because
these notes
we would
now.
Bill all of that to this capital project. So,
Right.
but this should be like the total cost for everything involved in doing this project, both construction and prep work, staff time, etc.
Okay.
That makes sense. Thanks, Joe.
Any other questions, comments for Laura? If not, do we have a motion?
Sorry, move approval.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you, Laura. Have a good
Thank
evening.
you. Thank you. You too.
Heidi, what's next?
The appeals question.
Do we have any appeals regarding pre-qualifications of contractors?
We do not.
Alrighty. So at this time, we've got a public hearing scheduled for 5:30. So I believe it would be nice to get a motion to temporarily. What's the term I'm looking for here,
Go into
Jim?
recess.
Recess. Yep.
Recess. There we go. And then
Move.
meet back at 5:30.
Move to go into recess until 5:30.
Second. Third.
Any objections of that? All righty, motion's approved by unanimous consent. We'll see everybody back at 5:30. Board of Public Works meeting is now called back into session. May we have a roll call, please?
Aaron Williams.
I believe he has indicated he's here.
Yes, I can see that. Okay. Harold Cleams.
Here.
Alder Uguer.
Here.
Alder Lankella.
Here.
Tim
Here.
Meisenheimer.
Here.
And Michael Cullen.
I am here. All righty. Any before we get to item, the public hearing, item number five, do any board members wish to make any disclosures or recusals?
I need to disclose that I work for Madison Gas and Electric. I'm the manager of electric construction operations, and Peter currently has a project with our electric distribution engineering group about the move of the house.
All righty. Thanks for that, Tim. With that being said, we've got, is it Ian's going to be presenting? Okay.
I can.
Take it away, Ian.
All right. So the matter before you this evening is a historic house move from the 400 block of Mifflin that'll go through a portion of downtown and then ultimately end up just off of Brittingham Place. And so what we're discussing is not approval of the move or not, but basically just the street tree impact along the city selected route. Thank you, Heidi. So we would head to the west on West Mifflin, or I guess the south, head south on West Mifflin to Bedford Street. And at Bedford Street, we would take that to West Main Street. And then West Main Street basically take all the way down to Brittingham Park. There would actually be entrance into a portion of Brittingham Park, and then maneuvering of the house within the park, and then shooting straight back up to Clark Court, which is the ultimate destination for this particular structure. The route was selected based on collective feedback from numerous city agencies, based on the impact to the level of infrastructure that's present. On the forest side, certainly the canopy was strongly considered, and the route was selected to minimize impact to the community tree canopy. So I think with that, let me pull up my file here. I'm sorry. I had some summaries of number of trees impacted. So kind of wading through the street tree report can be a little bit heavy or tedious. And so we do have one healthy tree removal. It's a 14-inch green ash. The address is 702 West Main, but it's actually it's on the corner of Main and Proudfit. It's a green ash that's been pruned away from utility lines. At this point, it's growing in towards the street, and so basically to clear the building envelope of the house, we would need to remove that tree. There's also one additional tree lilac removal. So this is a small stature, small canopy tree that is adjacent to the house removal site at 425 West Mifflin. And this tree would basically just make it easier and more open for construction at that future site. And that's a tree removal that we as forestry are certainly supportive of, because the tree that is currently there was planted because there were overhead utilities, and now those utilities have been undergrounded. And so we would look to use the soil replacement process and then replant with a large canopy species at the end of construction. There are three removals along the route, 425 West Mifflin, 447 West Mifflin, and 554 West Main, which is adjacent to the EcoTap facility. Those removals are forestry approved due to condition, so that there is no additional cost or concern for the mover on that. And then we have four additional large trees, ash trees, in the 700 block of West Main that would be pruned due to house clearance. So these are larger lateral limbs over the road. They would have to be pruned back to create space for the building envelope itself to fit down the street. And so those are some of the impacts that we would be seeing. There is one private tree along the route at 117 South Brittingham that would be impacted. So that's basically as the house is approaching its final resting place, there's a private, it's listed in the street tree report as a red maple. That was a miss on forestry's part. The arborist contractor classified it as a red maple. It's not a red maple, it's a normal maple. And so there is one private tree to be pruned. And the adjacent homeowner is comfortable with that, supportive of that. We're fine with it too. So those are the tree impacts along the route. A lot of thought was given to the route and identifying a location that would minimize the ongoing impact to the community's trees to help facilitate this plan. So I guess with that, I'd either open it up for questions, or if Jim, other members of staff that had reviewed the plan, had any additional commentary to weigh in that I missed on, we can certainly move to that now.
Nothing to add from my perspective. Thanks, Ian.
All righty. Before we go to the public hearing portion of this, for this item, do any board members have any questions or comments?
I just have one, and this is related to the prior house move in the same general area. Does the applicant have contingency plans if the move doesn't go smoothly and they encounter other tree related conflicts?
I don't believe so. That wasn't, I'm not recalling anything off the top of my head. We've discussed this route actually quite a bit. There were a number of routes that were considered, and actually we settled on this one going down Mifflin more specifically because of avoidance of contingencies. To make a long story short, adjustment or removal of utilities, replacement of utilities, we view as a much shorter term community impact than pruning off substantial community canopy trees along an alternate route. And so that was in large part what drove our recommendation for this being the route, is to give us some additional flexibility. The trees along Mifflin are smaller canopy species, and so I think there's a lot more wiggle room for if something doesn't go exactly right. The choice of Bedford as the cross street was exactly for that same reason. There are fewer canopy trees there. And so aside from kind of getting along Main Street and we have to get the house down there somehow, there is some canopy impact there. We selected and worked with Parks to approve a plan that could access the park and then basically pivot the house and then come right back out to avoid heavy pruning of trees that are along the park and the street right of way on Brittingham Place. Like, that's a pretty tight space. There are a number of lindens and as well as another large tree. I can't remember off the top of my head exactly what the species is, but we did want to avoid that because the house itself is almost as wide as the street is there.
That sounds like you've done your due diligence. I like to hear that. Thank you, Ian.
Hey, Tim,
We
I've
you were
got a
very thoughtful after the last house move. That was my first house move, and admittedly, I was a bit naive about it. Kind of saying like house moves are not my thing. I'll trust the experts on this, but I think anyone who was around town or involved in that one knows that things didn't go exactly as planned, and so we're trying to bake in as many thoughtful revisions on the front end on this one, so we don't have any surprises when it comes to the actual event.
Hey, Tim, just kind of following up on your comment there, what do you see as potential contingencies for something like this?
Mostly when they start turning the house, if, and this was something that happened on that prior house move, is they, and it was pulling the house out of the site, is the tree across the street, which wasn't involved in the original permitting, they hadn't done the calculations correctly, and they couldn't even move it off the site without removing the, there was a pretty, I think like maybe a 20-inch green ash there. And that was one of those, oh, I'm not going to say it, but oh, you know what moments. What do we do now? But it sounds like you've done a much better, this, your staff has done a good job this time, Ian, of making sure that's not going to happen.
Yeah, so I'll elaborate on that situation. I got a call midday of the house is off the foundation, it's in the street, and a tree is in the way. Can we please get forestry's approval to remove said tree? At that point, my hands, I felt, were somewhat tied. I can't really say put the house back. The tree is the tree, and I can't ask it to move. And so personally, yes, I said you it may be removed, but I was quite frustrated with that situation because that was a fairly significant change to what had been communicated to the public through that process, and I didn't appreciate being the city forester put in that position because it was a lack of foresight on that party's part. So, in any case, we've learned from that experience, had extensive conversations with Mr. Taglia about not only his move, but also our lived experience of the most recent move. And so I think all parties involved have been had a much heavier level of scrutiny when it came to what this house move looks like and not accepting it'll be fine. Yep, we're good. It's, are you sure? And let's t really talk this through. What if? What about how? So I'm comfortable with the route, and we put a ton of time into like reviewing probably three or four different routes in addition to this one, and this is where we landed.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got the experience now to kind of project forward to see if there would be any issues. But I guess that if that type of situation arises, sounds like the contingency plan is to cut the tree down.
Right, which is not ideal. And my general perspective on this, I'll share this with the board, and I shared this with Mr. Tagley as well, of we're talking about community tree canopy, and that's my job is to defend and support the community's canopy. And when we talk about canopy benefits of trees, the most valuable limbs are the ones that go over the road, because those are the ones that are intercepting stormwater for over impervious surface. Those are the ones that are shading the street to help for urban heat island. And so, there's years, if not decades, worth of impact when we talk about even pruning off substantial limbs, let alone removing large, healthy trees. And so, when we talk about having these types of conversations, or house moves, for instance, trees are a large part of the discussion. And we're trying to make sure that those things do stay at the forefront, in the interest of our community canopy and community canopy goals.
Right. And seeing as how this is our first public hearing with forestry, just trying to get a better understanding, how does forestry approach the different species of trees as far as, like, I'm not sure what kind of ash trees these things are, but is there consideration that they may be impacted by disease or down the road, and maybe it's good to remove now and plant something else? Or how do you look at that?
I'll actually fairly firmly push back against the discounting. So they are green ash, white ash. They are green ash in particular, common urban trees. We've had developers or parties across the city that would ask for a discount on the consideration of green ash because they know of emerald ash borer. Well, the city of Madison has an effective EAB management strategy. We treat our trees every 3 years. With a injectable pesticide that keeps these trees healthy and in place, contributing to our urban canopy. And so, ultimately there will come a time because no amount of treatment necessarily protects them from, heavy storm damage, auto impact. Like there are other things that come about that take out urban trees. Our position is we do not have to prescriptively remove them now because we do have not only a process that keeps these healthy and mature trees in place, but research even shows that you can treat these trees a number of times, and they green ash are strong compartmentalizers of decay, and so you can continue to treat them and keep them in the community even with EAB present. So the trees that we have now on the street and actually even in the parks too are a direct result of our EAB management strategy. So even the parks trees, there were about 300 parks trees that were previously privately adopted, privately funded to be treated. Forestry 2 years ago essentially took that over and rolled those into our citywide tree treatment program. So we have about 10,500 ash street trees under treatment, another 300 to I think between 3 and 350 parks trees that are under treatment. And that's why we have the ash canopy that we do as far as public trees across the city. Any untreated tree for the most part in Madison is either in a stage of decline or stone dead at this point.
Right. All right. I appreciate that explanation. With that, we will go to the public hearing and open up the public hearing. And do we have anybody registered to speak, Heidi? I know we've had a couple of registrants in support, I believe.
Yes, we have Peter Taglia, who was in support, was available if anyone had any questions, and Tom Wilson, also in support and available to answer any questions if anyone had any.
Alrighty. So with that, do any board members wish to have any questions for those registered? Ian, you had
I had one
commentary?
more thing I was going to add. I'm sorry. I don't mean to drag this out, but the one tree, it's a honey locust that's adjacent to EchoTap along Bedford and Main. So that tree is a city approved removal due to condition. What we have required within this move is basically to trade the healthy ash tree that's at the corner of Proudfit and Main for the tree at the Echo Tap. And so what we're going to do there is a lack of canopy adjacent to Echo Tap at that location. And so our prescribed deposit for the trees and the tree pruning, tree work that's required through this move would help fund a suspended terrace solution. So something like a SilvaCell or blue-green cell, a soil improvement at that location, which forestry would then replant a large canopy tree back into that space. So there is a location along the route that could have a canopy improvement in the long term that this project is going to help fund as well.
Right. And what is the condition of that tree that you have determined that it can be removed, as far as is it health related or just the type of tree or?
The one next to EchoTap?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a honey locust. It's been in decline for a while. It's basically like a large tree in a small site. There's a lot of pavement around it, and so that's one that forestry staff have kind of had their eye on for a while, monitoring its condition. We certainly want to keep trees that have grown or matured in the landscape as long as possible, but this made it easier for the house move to actually be facilitated, like to maneuvering around that corner. Plus, this wasn't a tree that we were going to get bent out of shape trying to protect. And so we're kind of taking this opportunity to say there is an impact to the tree canopy, but we're trying to take that impact and make it into a positive contribution. So This house move project is actually helping to fund making that site a better tree site for the long term.
Oh, that's great.
Tree impact in the downtown and Isthmus area in particular is always very thoughtfully considered because we're kind of lacking canopy there in general.
Right. All righty. With that, we will close the public hearing portion of it, this item. And any board members have any follow-up questions, comments? If not, I don't believe do we have to. Are we just essentially giving our comments to Ian at this point? There's no formal approval required or.
So I think what the board probably could do, if you're inclined to do so, is make a motion to recommend to the city forester to approve the permit and then vote on that.
Okay. Alder Uger.
Since I was, as Mr. Tagle, you may recall, I was involved in the Plan Commission review of a decision we made, which was almost didn't happen to encourage this move and provide Mr. Taglia some time to work out the details. So I would enjoy making the motion to recommend to the forester that we approve this plan.
All righty, we've got a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Do we have any objections? Hearing or seeing none, motion is approved by unanimous consent. Thank you very much, Ian. We look forward to your participation in future board meetings. All righty, and with that, I believe we come to the end of tonight's agenda. Is that correct, Heidi?
That is correct.
All right. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Yeah, move to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Got a motion with a second. Good night, everybody. Thank you very much. And again, welcome, Tim. We look forward to your participation.
Thanks.